Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. And we're in Nehemiah once again today. We have some great applications in this passage. I'm sure it will be obvious to us all, but have you ever had any resistance from the enemy when you want to do something for the Lord? When we do things for the Lord, we always will have resistance. Always. What do we do when we have ridicule? What do we do when we're despised? What do we do when we suffer great reproach and mocking? That's what we're going to talk about today, what Nehemiah and the workers rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem did so many years ago. Let's begin by singing this well-known song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," and that's where it is, and that's the solution to all of these difficulties that we have, to pray and to leave it in the Lord's hands. So the battle belongs to the Lord. In the top part of your notes are the words, if you want to sing with the words, or just listen, either one. Battle does belong to the Lord, for sure. In Nehemiah, the last week, we had the beginning prayer in chapter 1, where there was about a four-month period from the time Nehemiah heard from his brother who had returned from Jerusalem that the walls were still broken down, and before he had the permission by Artaxerxes to go back there and rebuild the wall, and that was such a great preparation as a big project that's coming up, which I have no ability to do because I have no experience in wall building or leadership or anything else. I'm a cupbearer, right? Now we move forward to chapter 4, and the wall is in construction. And in chapter 2, we had a couple of verses there that start to give us a clue to the opposition. In verse 10, right when they get back and just have the information kind of gets out that they're back to help the Jews, it says, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, heard of it, and they were deeply disturbed that a man had come back to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So we got the anti-Semitism there in full force and effect. We've had the Jews back there for about 100 years, but they haven't been able to do much of anything. They got the foundation of the wall built, and then they did build the temple, but they never were able to clear the rubble. They never were able to build the walls of the city back. So we move fast forward now to verse 19 of chapter 1. They were told that the good hand of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is upon me, and he sent me back here. And it says, when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and now we have the Arab join him, Geshem, heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So they're trying to make a deal as if they build a wall, they're rebelling against the king, although they had the king's orders to do that. But nevertheless, Sanballat is believed to be the governor of that area, and no politician wants anybody to take away any of his kingdom. And if Jerusalem gets a wall around it, all of a sudden they're not going to be bowing down to him and scraping down to him anymore, so he isn't for that. Ammonites, they hate the Israelites from days earlier. And Geshem, the Arabs, there was an Arab contingency there. We know that when Sargon did the defeat of Assyria up north, he brought in all of these people from these other areas. That's what Assyria did. They would take the natives out, and they'd bring in other people to populate that, and that would reduce the resistance, because newcomers in the land, they didn't have any real attachment to the old land, you know? So we see now already that they're despised, they're laughed at, but they go ahead and build anyway. They start the wall, and we had that in chapter 3. Now in chapter 4, we're moving along with the wall being built now, and we have the word but. You know, whenever you see but in the scripture, if things are going great, but is a bad word. If things are going bad, but is a great word. Well, they were going good, so now but is a bad word in a way. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant. That means burning with anger. He was burning with anger. People burn with anger. They usually do something, and it's not very good, right? And he mocked the Jews, and he spoke before the brethren and the army. Now, he's got an army there. This is not just a street vendor who's upset with them there. He's the governor of the area with an army. He spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Now, he's asking 5 questions here, and this is so typical what Satan does. When any time you start to do something for the Lord, what does he do? He starts to immediately reinforce your negative thoughts, right? Because he asked 5 great questions. I'm sure they were all asking themselves. Because the first one, what are you feeble Jews doing here? Now, isn't that I'm sure that was Nehemiah and these other people's ideas. You know, what are we doing here? Mountains of rubble, and they've been there 100 years and haven't been able to do anything, and now here we are? How are we going to handle this, right? Second question. Well, how are you going to protect yourselves? And looking at this army around them, what do they have? Sticks and stones? They have anything. And then, will they offer sacrifices? Yeah, you'll just say, in today's parlance, Jesus, Jesus will protect us. Now, Jesus hadn't come then yet, so they wouldn't have said that, but you're going to depend on your God with just sacrifices? Is that going to protect you? Are you silly enough to believe that? And then, will you complete it in a day? Even if you work here, this job is never going to get done. Look at the rubble. And as they're looking at the rubble, wouldn't they agree with that? I think so. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubble? Now, all the stones in this rubble were all burned with fire. Fire usually softens the stones, so they don't become good building materials. And, you know, I was so kind of curious when I was in Jerusalem, particularly the first time, seeing this great wide, wide wall that is partially exposed, that is a Nehemiah wall. And it's so wide compared to the other walls. You know, you kind of get the picture now. One of the things that the wall would do, it would soak up all that rubble, right? So you got to use the rubble for the walls, but that's not very strong. So I'm sure they made it very, very wide to help protect themselves. And that's my personal opinion, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it is a very, very wide wall, and they had a lot of rubble. We know that. So here's the five questions. And now Tobiah the Ammonite comes along besides Sanballat and says, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall. Now, this is kind of the mocking of all mockings. A fox is known to have the lightest. You can't even hear a fox. It has such a light thing. It's not horses, clomp, clomp, clomp. Just the lightest little touch would knock the wall down, building on those burnt stones and things. So he's just mocking at this point. But now what does Nehemiah do? He says, you know, guys, I think we ought to just forget this whole thing. Is that what he said? No. Verse 4, he says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads. Give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sins be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Notice that they are really coming against the enemy in kind of a David type of deprecatory psalm where he says, break their teeth, you know, and all. And, of course, that is in great contrast to Jesus on the cross that said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. But this is, I think, in order here, particularly in that period of time, and they're coming against God because of the enemy against God, right? And so there's a tough prayer, though, saying, don't cover their iniquity, don't let their sins be blotted out, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. We pray and we sit and we're going to watch this wall just grow up by itself. Is that what we do? No. You always have to follow prayers with action. There's our part too, right? We pray, give it to God, but there's action on our part. So what does the next verse say? So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Why? For the people had a mind to work. Awesome when you have believers with a mind to work. Awesome. Now more resistance. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonite, and now the Ashdodites come in. So now we got enemies from the north, the south, the east, and now the west. That's the Philistine country, the Ashdod, right? So now you got enemies coming. You got enemies positioned all around you. And this little wall maybe is 2 miles, maybe a little more long. It's just a little tiny thing here in the center of all these enemies. And when these four enemies heard that the wall was being restored, the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. A lot of angry people here, vehemently angry, wholly, totally angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. That's what the enemy always wants to do, is create confusion and stop the work, right? Well, we can't possibly be continuing this with all these enemies, because we got to appease these people, you know? Maybe they'll cool down a little bit if we just take some time off. No, that's not what is to be done. You pray and you work. And you watch, as we will see. Nevertheless, verse 9, we made our prayer to God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. You ever heard that term, pray and watch, or watch and pray? Yes. Jesus said that in Gethsemane. He also challenges that in the New Testament. Until he returns, men always ought to what? Watch and pray, right? So here they set a watch against them and they prayed. Then Judah said, now we got problems from within. People are getting tired. It says the strength of the laborers is failing and there's so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. That is probably the greatest danger of any time you will do something, try to do something for the Lord. You have people all eager to get started, right? I mean, they flock out there on opening day, and man, there, you know, you've got thousands of them to help. Wow, we'll get this done right away. But then let it go on for a while, and all of a sudden it says, we're not making any progress. I've been working on this rubble for a while now, and that pile, I can't even see it's gone down. And we're tired. We'll never get this done. We can see why 100 years has gone by and they couldn't clear that rubble, because it's impossible, is what they were thinking. So discouragement from within. That's when Satan can't get you from without, he'll get you from within. And now the adversaries, of course, pipe up again. They said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come on their midst and kill them. We're going to sneak up on you and wipe you out. And that's pretty easy to, it wouldn't be that difficult to wipe out a group of people building a wall when the wall is only about 2 miles all the way around it. It's just a very short distance and you can just overwhelm them, right? We'll come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. I guess that would cause it to cease, wouldn't it, if we killed everybody? But again, so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came. Now here they're reinforcing it 10 times, or this is in the Hebrew, I think, over and over again. They came from all around, the Jews, the spies, so to speak, coming in to work or whatever. From all over, they said, wherever we live, we hear them saying, we're going to come on and kill them. So now you're getting all these reports coming in. You know, it'd be like from here, be from Long Beach and Santa Monica and Anaheim and from San Diego and everywhere you come in, they're saying, yeah, we're going to go in and kill those people. So a terrifying situation, but now what happens? Did they stop? No. And keep in mind, when this is all done, he's going to set a record of building this wall in 52 days. And you see that and you say, oh, wow, what a successful project, 52 days. But he had all kinds of resistance all the way along, and you will have resistance, and I will have resistance. So he said, therefore, I positioned the men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening, and I set the people according to their families. How intelligent that is. What are you going to fight the most for? You're going to fight the most for your family and your house, aren't you? So, I mean, there's nothing you'll fight harder for than that. And so he put them according to their families, and he apparently had the wherewithal to get swords, spears, and bows. And I looked and arose to the nobles, the teachers, and the rest of the nobles, and here he says something that's so important for the leader to say, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of them. But here's the battle cry. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You know, we would say remember maybe the Alamo or remember Pearl Harbor or whatever we would say. But here they say, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. All right. Huh? But that would turn the whole thing around when you're, instead of, they're tired and they're got resistance from without and resistance from within. And their leader says, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. And fight for your families and your homes. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So from that time on, half of the servants worked at the construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, and bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. And then they get a trumpet there, too, to sound the alarm, like we will listen for that alarm, too, won't we, on the trumpet one day? And so they continued their work. So we see then that when the resistance comes in like a flood, we want to pray, and we want to continue to work, right? Prayer is so important, but don't stop with just praying. Leave it in the Lord's hands to protect you, but do what he has called you to do, right? No matter how futile the work seems and you're not getting anywhere with it, if you're faithful, it's what he's looking for, right? And we see the wall then will be built in a record time, unbelievable. It was, in fact, it was such a short time that even the enemies knew that it was a supernatural thing. This could not have been done by man. It was done by God. It's to the glory of God. Father, we thank you for this prayer and the applications and instructions that we get from your word, and in this case, Nehemiah. And now we want to pray, Lord. We want to pray how you would lead us to pray today for the church here and the church around the world, for the persecuted church. We want to pray for the lost. We want to pray for leaders, kings, and those in authority, and whatever you put on our heart, Lord, for the men's conference here today, which might be a little noisy, but Lord, we just thank you that we are here and you are here and we can pray to you. So let's pray. He is able more. Father, you are indeed able, and the battle does indeed belong to you. I just pray we would stay close to you today, and we would just be seeking you with our whole heart, and we would be honoring you and praising you, and you would be glorified in each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.